On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. Everybody, before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a quick shout out to all of our all-star sponsors. These companies are Momentous, Woodway, Aura Ring, Garden of Life, Direct Fitness Solutions, Proven Four, and Clean Athlete. Thank you to all of these companies for sponsoring the PBSCCS. With that being said, let's get into the episode. All right, everybody, this episode of the podcast is going to be another group episode. I'm going to have the guys introduce themselves quickly, and then we'll just dive right in. So we'll start Derek, Joey, Dong, and then we'll get going.
All right, Derek Mendoza, went to Seattle Mariners, been with them going into my seventh year and my fifth year in AAA with Tacoma.
And I'm Joey Graney. I'm with the Tampa Bay Rays, Major League club. I have 13 years overall, 4 years with the major league level, and 9 years in the minor leagues with the Kansas City Royals.
Dong Lin with the Philadelphia Phillies, major league assistant strength coach, going into my 15th year, nine in Philadelphia.
So today's topic for this group is mental skills in the sport of baseball, especially in professional baseball. Before we got on the camera here, we just kind of squared away, like, we are not mental skills coaches. That is a whole separate profession, and they are very good at what they do. But at the same time, sometimes that responsibility does fall into our lap, especially here in the minor leagues, where you don't necessarily have a mental skills coach all the time, and guys do come to talk to you about things in terms of their mindsets and making things better for themselves mentally. So I just want to kick it off to you guys. On your overall thoughts of the mental side of the game and how important that is in professional baseball.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's extremely valuable. I think we always tend to put most of our attention on the physical side, which rightfully so, we're strength coaches, but the mental performance is what's going to really help our guys stay focused, motivated, and really committed to the process when the change is really going to be hard, or when the game's on the line. So I think it's extremely important. And just like we do squats and rows and speed and agility drills on our side of things, it's important to recognize the importance of, you know, the mental performance side. And we can still be doing those types of, you know, comparison drills on the mental skill side, just like we do on the strength side. So I think it's extremely important.
Yeah, and feeding off what Derek said there, I think it may be the most important piece to development or performance that we come encounter with. We're teachers, we're coaches, we have a chance to impact athletes' lives each and every day. And like Derek was saying, like, we see these players all the time. Like, the first thing they do when they get to the ballpark, it's either eat or they come into the weight room. And if they come into the weight room, we're right there. And the way our attitude is, the way we present ourselves, they feed off that. And I think it's important just to build the trust and develop relationships with the players. And when you're able to do that, that's when they'll be able to do the things necessary in order to improve performance on the physical side.
Yeah, I agree with that. Those are some great points that you guys mentioned there. And I would put it ahead of the physical component. And I'll explain why. It's just the fact that, you know, all these, you know, and just look at the minor leagues and, you know, the grueling schedule and the cities or the clubhouse or the ballpark that you may go into, and it's not the most aesthetic appealing, you know, and so it's a bit of a punch to the side, you know, like trying to prove your worth and your mental discipline is such an important factor, not just to show up every day. for the game, but from a physical training standpoint, because we, you know, how important it is for us as strength and conditioning coach to have a player who comes in who truly wants to go in there and put in the work for whatever amount of time that they're going to be there for. Because if they're not mentally there, we know, we've seen it, we experience all the time. If you're not mentally focused on the work, the task at hand for whatever 20, 30 minute window, it's pretty sloppy. It's pretty, unfortunately, they may not have gotten much out of it other than the fact that they may have checked off the box with regards to they got a lift in. But I saw it so much more in AAA, because you deal with those, you know, long bus rides, those early morning workouts, and then they have to show up to the ballpark after, you know, a gym session at 10:30 in the morning, and we may have arrived in that city, you know, early morning. So it is. I would put it ahead of the physical. I mean, if you had to rank it, but they both play into it tremendously.
Yeah, I think kind of going off of that, like you said, there's a really big mental aspect to the physical training aspect. And even for us, some days, like I'd go in and I'm like, man, I really got to get my mind right for this training session. And then some days I'm like, man, this is a piece of cake. I'm ready to go. And kind of going off of Joey's point is like how we present ourselves to players. The energy that we provide to them really almost dictates how things are going to go. And if we come in and we're sloppy and we're not mentally there, like it's going to be a hell of a lot harder to get them motivated to do stuff. And so sometimes I think for us, like it starts looking in the mirror for us, like, hey, we have to be ready to go today. I have to bring the same presence every single day for these guys. And that consistent presence that I bring, that consistent energy I bring, is going to help them get through some tough times, because there are tough times. I mean, especially like you said, in the minor leagues, there are some really, really like hard times where you got to grind out lifts and you got to get everything you can out of guys any way possible. And sometimes that starts with us just making sure that our minds are right.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's we see them so much more than we see our significant others, honestly, right? So how we present ourselves to them, not just pure from a physical standpoint, but just from how we speak to them emotionally. And it's certainly come to the forefront a lot more nowadays with regards to being more cognizant and having empathy for what a person may be going through before you just drill and say, hey, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z this week, and you haven't. And because, you know, and then just kind of light them up, you know, we become not experts, but we quickly become attuned to you know, that type of language, to have to speak to these guys in the right manner and try to approach them in the right way, even though we're not experts, like you said earlier, in the field. But we, in order for us to connect with them, it's a bit of a must.
Yeah, I'm there with you, man. I agree 100%.
Yeah, and that's like the biggest thing what Don was talking about, is the connection. You know, each player is motivated differently. Each player learns differently. And each player responds to different stress or different outcomes differently. So it's our job to get to know these players, find out what motivates, what drives each and every player. And like Don said, develop that relationship and that trust. And there's different ways to approach certain players on your team in order to get them to do the things necessary to improve performance.
So what aspects of mental training do you guys really, really like believe in or feel very strongly about, whether it's, you know, maybe controlled breathing techniques or just some sort of resilience training or just even focus training? Just what aspects of mental skills do you guys find yourself leaning on when working with players?
Yeah, I mean, just a few that I think are really important that are easy for me to help with are things like teaching them how to become more self-aware. I think that's a big one, so they can really begin to recognize some of the challenges before they even happen, so they can maybe come up with a game plan, or we can help them come up with a game plan. Growth versus a fixed mindset, so building that elite mindset. I like the way Brian Kane talks about it. He's big on building elite mindset. So really that, and being able to identify some of the behaviors that are going to have the greatest impact towards helping them where they want to go. So things like mental imagery and visualization, and also how to build habits so that they're able to build upon, you know, those habits and continually progressing and working towards achieving their goals. So those are some of the ones that I tend to use or tend to really focus on. And we do as well with our, in combination with our mental skills coaches.
Yeah, I like the mental imagery. I like focusing on gratitude, especially in the morning, being thankful for what you have. I know the season, you know, it's a roller coaster ride. There's a lot of ups and downs, and you can really get into a rut, but you need to step back and be thankful for what you do have. And studies have shown that that does trigger positive responses in the brain, releases a lot of feel-good hormones. So I would say the gratitude, especially in the morning, some type of meditation. And then what Derek said too, like self-development and a growth mindset also. I think those are wonderful ways to start the morning and to win the morning and to set yourself on a path for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm 100% in with you guys on that. Those are great points. You know, it's our players. I mean, whatever team, just, you know, going through the system and growing up and playing the game, they've had, you know, they're very good at what they do skill wise. You know, they brought them to the college level, or if they skipped that, they went to the pros, right? So they're in professional ball, and they've never really experienced that negativity, the failure, the not winning, going 0 for 12, 16, whatever it is. And it's the minor leagues. And we don't necessarily, this is before mental skills coaches were available to our athletes. So you were to fend for yourself, or you were to look to your strength coaches, you know, who is your next closest confidant, you know? So they didn't have that. And for us, like, to be able to help them and recognize like the importance of planning and having the habitual, like having those habits, like Joey said, the gratitude in the morning is something that there's like 3 points that I came across recently. And actually it was, I'm going to misquote it, but I believe it was a former Thomas Edison that said it was, you know, one of the great things that he did so well was the fact that he would start his morning off with some goal setting and planning. And he would end his day with those same goal setting and planning. It involved 3 things that one of them, what Joey mentioned, was what were you grateful for? What can you improve on? And how are you going to move forward? So those 3 things, you know, as I learned for my own self, as we do as professional strength coaches and husbands and fathers and such, I use those things that I learn as well to try to hopefully pass on to our athletes and say, you know what, there might be a select guy. It doesn't fit the whole, you know, not one shoe fits all with regards to this, but, you know, sometimes you might have a starting pitcher that is in a rut, but unable to kind of like get out of that and find that road. And sometimes that's just a suggestion that I would bring. It may not work for him, but at least maybe he can think about it, along with like meditation work and but just self-reflection. And so that you like Derek said, just how to handle the situation before or while it arises.
Yeah, I think that it's just piggybacking off of what you just said, is the great thing is that we're blessed in the sense that we spend a lot of time with these guys. Mm-hmm. And so we pick up different cues, different body language, how a guy likes to be talked to, how he doesn't work if you talk to him directly, you know, that if this is a guy you need to indirectly talk to. So then with the tools we have in our toolbox, we're able to do that in a better way. So that's a great point.
That's what I love about the job. It brings that challenge, not just from as a coach to try to like pump these guys up and get them physically and performing well and injury prevention too. But there's this aspect of things that not a lot of people do know that we are somewhat involved. We can't call ourselves the professionals in it, but we're in it. We know, cause like you said, we have developed those relationships, and we know we're always careful not to, you know, to tread in the wrong area with regards to giving the wrong information. But if somebody comes to you and talks to you about it, by all means, I think it's worthy to not brush them off, but share some opinions and say, well, at the same time, you know, our mental skills coach might be also a good benefit for you. Have you considered that type of thing?
Yeah, for me, one of the things that I really, really do enjoy about this job is, like you guys said, is we spend so much time with these guys that it almost becomes like a big brother situation where, like, they'll come to you and just out of the blue be like, dude, guess what? My wife's pregnant. I haven't told anybody yet. And you're the first one. And you're like, of all the people, why did you pick me to tell me that? Like, it's really cool that you're pregnant, you guys are expecting whatever. There's probably a whole list of people you could have went to, and they're like, oh, no, but I just see you every day. Like, I just wanted to talk to you about it. And, like, it's things like that that, you know, there's a whole bunch of very, like, formal and technical training and things like that. And I've, like, in past experiences, we've done, like, sessions of mindfulness with guys, and some guys really liked it, some guys didn't. You know, but for us as strength coaches, like, a lot of those moments just kind of come out of the blue where you're not really expecting it. Or, like, a guy has some failure and he comes up to you and he's like, man, I suck. I'm 0-12 in this series. Like, what can I do? And you're like, well, I'm not the hitting coach, but, you know, maybe I can kind of just talk you off of the cliff. And, like, you might not say anything. You might just say, hey, just keep going. And then next thing you know, that guy hits a double next at bat and he comes to you and he's like, you're a wizard. Like, well, no, I didn't say, you know, I didn't say anything other than I just gave you kind of a, you know, a boot of confidence or whatever it is. And I think that's a really underappreciated part of our job, is those situations come up all the time, and it's not always when you're expecting it. And it kind of guides me into my next thought here, is like, how do you guys tie in mental training with other aspects of an overall approach to performance? I know, like I said, there are times where sometimes you need to have, like, a sit down mindfulness session, but sometimes it just pops up. So I'm curious how you guys are kind of tying those things in.
Yeah, I mean, I like to keep it simple and leave the deep mental skills work to the experts. You know, we all have the benefit of having those mental skills coaches with us. But I think of little things like praising the athlete's efforts in their, and their, when they're sticking with the process, as opposed to always just being like, oh man, that's great, that looks so great because you're so talented, or your ability is so good. So really just honing in on, like, making sure we're praising them for their efforts. And then I like one of the things that Brian Kane talks about is the E plus R equals O, is the effort plus your response equals the outcome. So it's not what happens to you, it's about how you handle it. So we aren't always going to have, or the athletes aren't always, and rarely ever are they going to have control over in-game situations, but just teaching them how to control what they can control. And then the last one is a start, stop, continue. And it's, you know, what can you do now? And let's say from our perspective, is like, from this lift to your next lift, what can you start, stop, and continue that can get you closer to your goals? So those are a couple that I like to use that really help to tie in some of the mental skills work to our side of things as well. So,
yeah, that's great information. We like to leave it to our mental skills coaches to really work with the athletes or of our players on that aspect. Justin Sua, he's our mental performance coach with the Major League Club. He does an outstanding job. And since he came on board, we have a mental skills coach at each affiliate now, and they all do a fantastic job. But like Derek said, a lot of the times you find yourself caught off guard, and you mentioned Chris too, like, players will just catch you off guard and say something to you. And I mean, you have to be ready for that. And I think that comes with just watching the game. And like you said, like, knowing what a player does during the game and when the right time to approach his player and talk to him about a certain aspect of his life or something for a certain aspect of performance too. I mean, you know, if a player goes 0-4, you know, with 4 strikeouts, that's probably not the time to go talk to him about something serious. You know, and a lot of the times players will just walk into the office and sit down in the chair, and they just want to talk to you about life and different things going on in their life. And so I don't think there's a right time or a wrong time. I think there's better times than others to approach guys and talk to them. But like I said, our mental skills coaches, they either talk to the pitchers before they stretch as a group. And I like what Justin Sua does with our team. He calls it a mental minute. And Chris, I know you've seen those. And he talks to the pitchers as a group, and he does a mental minute. He does one session with them, and he hits them with something short and sweet that's easy to digest that they can take with them and use during the day and think about it and ponder over. And then he'll do the same thing with our position players at a certain time. He'll go and he'll do a mental minute with them. And he also does group discussions with our coaching staff, which is very good too. I mean, it opens communication with the coaching staff and also with the players. So I'm grateful to have him on board. I've learned a lot from him, and it's been really a blessing to have him in the organization.
Yeah, we're very fortunate now. I mean, at least our staff, and I'm sure you guys would attest to it too, for our players to have these experts that are available to them, you know. And whether it's like that mental minute, we have our coordinator, she does Mental Sweat Mondays, and you know, so it might be a 2-minute video clip, but she's talking about certain topics and how to attack it or how to approach it, and it's but using social media as a feed. And I think there's value to that too with today's athlete. And so another way of reaching that culture of player. And it's, you're right, there's not really a planned moment to have the conversation, and I always fall back because it our job's never ending. Like, the time, you never really punch out, like you never leave, because you know, you might be staying on the bus even though the day's technically over. You're sitting on the bus and a guy might hit you up because he's sitting right next to you and wanting to talk. And, you know, as much as you could label it as a meeting, a discussion that might be, you know, that somebody, a professional might bill for this, but you're just talking on the bus over a drink, you know, having a beer or watching a movie. And you're just talking about the things that he is currently experiencing and having a tough time with. And AAA for me was a huge learning experience with regards to like the importance. Maybe it was more from my standpoint, because I was going through my own my own thing from a mental side with regards to, you know, I was a big league strength coach and then no longer a big league strength coach. So I think in hindsight, silver lining is I took away these key nuggets, these key points that now I can possibly, you know, can share with the athlete to say, hey, you know what, I've failed in my mind, I've failed, or I've been demoted, however you want to label it. I've kind of been there with you, or at least I've experienced in some way. And so I share some of those things. A book of mine that I, or not a book of mine, but a book I read was called Relentless by Tim Grover. Great book. But it doesn't fit every athlete, you know. So the term in that book always says like next. Even though you have a successful day, 3-for-3, 4-for-4, whatever it is, next. What's next, right? So Jocko Willink is another good one for the YouTube for good, or his book for extreme ownership. You know, you suck today. Well, I'm not going to say it to the group too often or to that person right directly to their face at 0-for-4 that night. But if they come to you and then, you know, knowing that athlete, good. And they're like, what do you mean good? What the F, you know? Like, well, no, if you have the right relationship, you know, like they already know. They already know that the good just means, you know what, time to prepare, time to evaluate, time to, you know, basically like Jocko says, reload. AAA was great for me, just talking to these group of guys. And I'd love to hear more about how, you know, you kind of utilize your time with a group setting at times where you acknowledge, like you said, praise. I'm going to give you praise for what you've done, but then I'm going to lead you keep your focus on, hey, now we need to do X, Y, and Z and go ahead and attack it, type of thing. So it's there's always that mental aspect that's being played in it for me.
Yeah, one of my favorite groups to work with, honestly, is the starting pitchers, just because you get so much one-on-one time with them, and they have a bigger window for preparation between starts, right? Like this guy takes 4 days, he works his ass off, he gets ready, and he goes out and he gets shelled and he gives up, you know, 8 runs in 2/3 of an inning. And it's cool just to watch how they respond to that within those next 4 days, right? You have some guys that, you know, they'll mope for those 4 days and then they'll go out and they'll carry that into their next start. And then there's some guys that as soon as they get off the mound, you know, they take their recovery drink from me and they're like, all right, come here. And it's like, what's up? And they're like, let's get to work. It's like, it's the second inning. And they're like, no, we got to start in 5 days here. It's time to go. And so it's really like, like we talked about, those moments just kind of come up and you have to be ready for everything. And then sometimes it'll even surprise you. Your guy that's always working his tail off, maybe he does get shelled and one day he comes out and he's like, I need a break. And you're like, what are you talking about? Usually you're on top of your prep work. He's like, it's not working. And it's like, are you throwing away your whole process just for one bad start? And so those are the kind of conversations for me that, you know, with starting pitchers, we get a ton of one-on-one time with them. And it's not always easy with position players or relievers because they get thrown out there all the time. And sometimes their work has to be changed because of how much they're playing. Like those starters are really, that's a whole separate group. And then the position players are a whole separate group. And then the relievers are a whole separate group. And you kind of have to wear different hats based on the personalities of those groups. So it's, I don't know if there's necessarily, like you guys said, we all have the mental skills experts on our staffs for, you know, the specifics. But there are always times that we can help them with their mindsets and just kind of putting them in the right place. Derek, I like what you said with the start, stop, continue. Just what can you do better from now until your next time, whether it's the next lift I have you, the next time you go out and play, the next time you're going to see this starter, the next start you make. Like, there's a lot of really good opportunities within a day, within a week, within a month for us to help shape those mindsets for those guys. And all of us on this call here are at the higher levels. And I mean, these are the guys that are at the top of this sport. It's cutthroat. Like we've all seen it. Like a guy goes 0-for-4 and you think like, oh, this guy's getting paid a lot of money. He's a big leaguer. He's got it all figured out. These guys, a lot of them are insecure and they're very, very uncertain about things because if they don't perform, they don't put food on the table for their families. And so it's one of the big things that I've really taken away is like, they're all people and they all have the same issues that we have. And sometimes it's magnified because they got millions of people blowing them up on social media or whatever it is when they don't perform. And like, they need that mental aspect more than a, you know, a high school kid who's struck out twice in a, you know, a summer tournament. You know what I mean? Like the mental skills part is so much bigger in pro ball, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, what you were talking about, like a lot of people, I mean, we all realize in this call here, but a lot of people don't realize that when the players show up to the park, they're getting pulled in all different directions. They're getting pulled. They're going to go to the video room and watch video either on the pitcher that night that they're facing, the hitters are going to watch. The hitter's going to watch the pitcher. The pitcher's going to watch the hitters. They have training room. Stuff that they're doing in there. They're going to come into the weight room. They have the mental skills. They have nutrition. They may have interviews. They may have to do a commercial. They may have to sign autographs. So the player's not just showing up. They're going to the batting cage. They're taking extra work on ground balls. So there's a lot of different things that just don't show up and play the game. And I think a lot of the time players just have to say no and just focus on what's important. And to get those things accomplished for that day and then get out and play the game. But they are being pulled in every different direction. So a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point as well. I mean, there's times where you can tell a guy's fried and he's mentally just not there that day. And from our side of things, maybe sometimes it's a matter of like, hey, man, I mean, today might not be the best day for you to come in and crush a workout. It might be like, hey, let's do some movement based stuff, and then you can start some dialogue. You can start some. Most of the time, you know, as you guys know, these guys just want to be heard. You know, they want to be heard and they want somebody to hear them out. Sometimes you don't even have to respond. You know, you don't have to give them advice. Sometimes they just need somebody to listen to. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. That's
yeah, you can't even measure that too, like what you said. Yeah. There, you can't, it can't be measured. He was in the weight room and it might not have registered weights that he lifted that day, but it was a fact that You know, you took his mindset away from, you know, a negative or something that just kept, that was weighing on this person. And by just going through, like you said, mobility or a flow or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And honestly, sometimes just meditation will get you through it because you can solve it on your own. And I've used distance running, like to suggestions for our athletes, not necessarily like 20 minutes of straight of running, but just, you know, let's say you're doing poles, for instance, and you're starting pitcher, and do it without music. And just because music is, it can take you down the wrong rabbit hole, you know, and positive music, negative music, depending on, and it all plays into it too. And if you got so much going on up here and you're trying to get some clarity, like you said, breath work or just like a good run or a good workout with just kind of like peace and quiet and just try to find some answers. Sometimes I make those suggestions as well, but it's important.
So where are you guys going for kind of continuing ed on mental skills or any books you're reading or websites you're checking out? I know we mentioned a few books already, but what sources are you guys using to kind of stay on top of your knowledge of mental skills?
Yeah. So for me, you know, just quick backstory, but like we've all kind of talked about, we've been around some really good mental skills coaches, and I've had the pleasure of being around D-Mac, who's now moved on to the Giants, and he was with them before, and Jimmy Van Ostrand, who's now with the Blue Jays. But I was able to be around those guys for a few years and kind of just, even just from afar sometimes, watch how they did things, and that really got me interested in, like, man, I'm missing out on so much more of this game. It's not just about the physical part, like we've all touched on. Like, this mental part is possibly more important. And so this offseason, I went out and searched for a certification, and I end up doing Brian Kane's Mental Performance Mastery, and learned such a great amount of stuff that, you know, is really actionable and really helps from like our perspective as well. It's not just for, you know, mental skills coaches, and I think it's made me a better coach. So that would be my first recommendation. I like a guy named Ben Newman, who's not in baseball. He does a lot with football, but and MMA, but he's just a great guy as far as mindset. He has a podcast called The Burn. A couple of books is Mindset by Carol Dweck and Heads Up Baseball by Ken Revisa. And then apps, you know, like Dong, you were talking about, app like Headspace that are kind of, you know, sometimes you need that meditation or that, you know, some time to be able to, you know, get better at not jumping on every single thought that you, you know, think. So those are some of the resources I like and I've used. So,
yeah, I've seen the Brian Kane certification. I was listening to a Compete Every Day podcast, and he was on there explaining that, and I did research and looked into it. So it looks very good. So I'll probably ask you more questions about that, but that's very good. Justin Suez, our mental performance coach, he has his own podcast out there. He puts one out every single day. He has about 12 to 1500 episodes. It's called Increase Your Impact. They're very short. They're about 3 to 5 minutes long. So I listen to those on the plane, going to from different cities. I just pop it on, listen to him, and he just does it, I guess, every night, and he uploads it no matter what. I mean, even through the playoffs, everything. He's very consistent. He puts one out every day. I'm reading a book now. It's called Coach to Coach by Martin Rooney. About halfway through it. It's very good. But I'm halfway through that. And then he also has a podcast called Into the Roar, which is very good. Talk about different leadership qualities. And then there's another one from John Gordon. He's very good. He has a number of books out. So you can't go wrong with any of his books. And he has a podcast too called Positive University. And Josh Medcalf, he has quite a bit of books out there. Chop Wood, Carry Water is one of them. Pound the Stone was another one. I think he has another one coming out. So he's very good, but there's a lot of good leaders out there, a lot of good podcasts, a lot of good books. So the information's out there, and I think it's up to us to do some research on and get some information and that we can share to the players and kind of help their lives and even for our families. Like Don said, I mean, we're fathers, we're husbands, and we can be better persons too. So, but yeah, that's the few that I got.
Now, those are great. That's great information. I definitely wrote down what you guys had said there, and hopefully I can listen to some of these podcasts. Big fan of podcasting and listening to them. And one of a holistic approach that I've been following for quite some time now is Jay Shetty. Jay Shetty's a former monk that spent some time, but now he's taken wisdom and gone viral with it. He's probably like the number one podcaster when it comes to health and wellness right now. And there's just, you know, sometimes it's just listening to the person's voice, and he does meditation as well right now. He's going 20 days straight of meditation live at 12:30 each day. And, but it's just giving you some like pointers and key tips, you know, like 1, 2, 3 action points that you can approach and use daily to kind of just get you out of a dark place, perhaps, to something that is much more positive. So Jay Shetty's a big influence in my life. Another person, Robin Sharma. There's a book called The 5 AM Club, and this one really hits home with me a lot more. Along with Jay Shetty, Robin Sharma talks about 5 AM Club, and a lot of from his book speaks about these great individuals, from presidents to artists and these memorable people who have this approach at 5 a.m. in the morning, and it's a mental discipline, right? And there's a lot you can accomplish in that quiet hours when everyone else is sleeping. And if for us, you know, it's easy in spring training because we're probably before that. I was listening to your recent podcast, Chris, and you're saying how you're doing. I think you're training by 4 a.m. Right. So, but there's some value to that at that time where you're just alone and you're with your own thoughts and you're just, and you're lifting the house. Right. And you're just getting after it. There's something to that. And, so Robin Sharma's 5 AM book is a big one for me. It's you kind of get the gist of it right from the title of it, but it kind of gives you a little bit more in-depth, information with that. So, those two are really big for me. Always trying to, like you said, as a parent or as a husband and in a coach, just trying to get this information. And I find that there's common denominator to a lot of like our successful athletes. There's that mindset that's set, along with their physical capability and their skill set. There's this mindset along with it. Like no matter what, they don't veer off of what their plan is, kind of what Joey's saying. You know, they're pulled in all these directions with regards to signing and doing all this stuff, but they stay on that road, that path, and everything else just has to revolve around them. And they'll get to it when they want to get to it. But there's a common denominator in the great athletes that we get to see every once in a while. They're not. They're special for a reason. And I've been fortunate to be around some, and I always try to like figure out like what makes him so much more different than the 24, you know what I mean? What makes him an MVP versus, you know, the rest of the league, for instance. There's something, sometimes it is just pure skill, right? The ability. But oftentimes I've noticed these guys who have 10 plus careers, they have that physicality and mindset. They take care of their nutrition and all these facets that we, you know, now are addressing on a regular basis. It's amazing. It's amazing to just see these awesome athletes. And I went off on a tangent there, but I love what I'm able to, the job I have, I guess this is the best way to say it.
Yeah, it's a great point. It goes back to that gratitude piece, right? Like, we're all happy that we're all very thankful for this job that we have and the athletes that we're around. And you know, at the end of the day, we get to watch a baseball game every night. And, you know, sometimes I think we forget to take that step back and realize, like, we are watching these guys in their natural environments, and that's pretty awesome. So just at least for my own two cents there.
100%.
Derek, I didn't mean to cut you off, bro. If you got something, feel free to throw it in there.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, you know, piggybacking off what you're saying, is success leaves clues, is what you're saying. And that's one thing that I wish I would have, you know, earlier in my career really picked up on. I think I was going back to like the building an elite mindset. I think I was more in that fixed mindset that I kind of had this thing in my mind that I thought, like, those people who are really successful, oh, something just – they just fell into a really good position, or they just, you know, this and that. As you get, you know, to learning and get around, you know, better people and people that mentor you, you realize that, you know, no, these dudes are doing something special, and success leaves clues behind. So if you can start to pick them up, exactly what you were saying, like, try to figure out that one thing that this guy does different than those other 24 guys do. And you're onto something, you know, and now that, instead of something that might have taken you 10 years to learn, now you're learning it and a matter of months because somebody's already done it. Success leaves clues, and now you're just, you know, jumping right back in there and working on it in a faster pace.
Kobe Bryant left like a lot of information out there. I don't know if he, like, the Mamba mentality. And at first, when I heard about like the self-proclaimed name and such, I might have dismissed that as kind of like a whatever, you know. And but when, now that I dig into it, and he has a podcast called The Punies, which is it's for children, and it's amazing. My daughter just, we crushed it together. Our family listened to two seasons of it, and if you get a chance to listen to it, you'll enjoy it because it has to do with sports, but it has to do with the mental aspect of it. And Kobe was huge into that. And he was in that one book as well, Relentless, and was, you know, talking about blowing out his Achilles, and he still went to the foul line and shot those free throws. It's but he, I never got a chance to meet him, but now that I see this information, and his books and his podcasts and what he has done, outside of the game itself, it's the mental aspect is huge. And he was trying to really bring it to the forefront.
Guys, this has been really awesome. Really, really great talk. And before we get off, I just want closing thoughts from you guys, whether it's just, you know, re-emphasizing the value of the mental skills training and the mental side of baseball, or just anything that you want to leave people with that they might have missed in this about hour that we've been talking here.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say back to something I touched on earlier is that, you know, control what you can control. The things that you can't control, you can control how you respond to it. And so just be more self-aware of how you're responding to things, and when you don't like the way you responded, the great thing is in baseball, you're going to get another opportunity. And so you go right to that, like, okay, I didn't respond the way I wanted to. I have another opportunity to do it. In between those times, control what I can control.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. I think, you know, through our eyes as strength and conditioning coaches, be ready for these different situations that we have with players. Be up front, be seen, be heard. And know that we do have the opportunity to impact players' lives each and every day. And three things that I like to remember myself each and every day when I show up to work is to keep it simple, be fearless, and work on and focus on serving others. And that's helped me kind of get into the right mindset day in, day out.
I love that. Love that. Service to others is definitely what we do. And some, I think, key points with regards to being a coach and working with athletes. And people ask that question about, you know, is there a difference with working with the major league guys versus the minor leaguers? There's no different in regards to how we should approach them on a regular basis. And I think three things for me that really applies in all aspects of life is really to observe. So see first, listen, and then speak before, you know, before we just rush into things. Because oftentimes, I've been at fault to this, you know, before I even say hello, I've already told the player he's got an upper body lift, this type of running, and this for recovery before I even said hello, how are you? You know, and I use myself as, you know, I think we all do as guinea pigs in trial and error and such like that. But takeaways is definitely, you know, to see first, listen, and then speak from there.
Guys, I really, really appreciate you coming on, and I hope that you all stay safe and all your family stay safe during this time, and we'll be talking real soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Dong, Derek, and Joey. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Again, throughout the episode, we try to make it clear that we are not the experts in mental skills, but at the same time, you know, players are going to come to us with things that they need to talk about. They tend to be more open with us a lot of times, and especially in the minor leagues when a mental skills coach is not always accessible. Sometimes these responsibilities do fall into our laps, and we have to be prepared to have these conversations with players and try to help them through some things. And I think we hit on that really well in this episode. Three things that I took from the guys in this episode: lean on the experts to help you, focus on serving others, and success leaves clues. Before we finish this episode, I just want to give one more shout out to all of our all-star sponsors. These companies are Momentous, Woodway, Aura Ring, Garden of Life, Direct Fitness Solutions, Proven 4, and Clean Athlete. Thank you again to all of these companies for sponsoring the PBS CCS. And with that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you on the next one.